Innie Dillard wrote this amazing book called Pilgrim at Tinker Creek, and it was the recording of her observations of the natural world in southwestern Virginia. And in one particular chapter, she focuses on plants. This is what she writes. The growth pressure of plants can do an impressive variety of tricks. Down at the root end of things, blind growth reaches astonishing proportions. So far as I know, only one real experiment has ever been performed to determine the extent and rate of root growth. And when you read the figures, you can see why. I've run into various accounts of this experiment, and the only thing they don't tell you is how many lab assistants were blinded for life. The experimenters studied a single grass plant, winter rye. They let it grow in a greenhouse for 4 months, and then they gingerly spirited away all the soil under microscopes, I imagine, and counted and measured all the roots and root hairs. In 4 months, the plant had set forth 378 miles of roots. That's about 3 miles a day. And 14 million distinct root hairs. This is mighty impressive. But when they got down to measuring the root hairs, I boggle completely. In those same months, 14 million distinct roots, 14 billion root hairs, and those little strands placed end to end just wouldn't quit. In a single cubic inch of soil, the length of root hairs totaled 6,000 miles. Now, the ancients who recorded the word of God in scripture didn't have the benefit of microscopes that they had in 1937 when this experiment was created. And they didn't know about photosynthesis, and they did not know about carbon dioxide. But the ancients certainly knew about trees and how they are nourished by water. And they knew how trees planted near streams were healthier and stronger than trees planted elsewhere. And they knew that trees put out roots to get that water, and that trees that could put out deep, deep roots could tap into a source of life that wasn't available in the surface. And that trees with deep roots, well, they could weather all kinds of seasons, good and bad, dry, hot, wet, cold, and otherwise. Tapping into a source of life is what trees do. It's what roots are for. And it's why our scriptures today use the image of a tree with roots near a stream as an image for one who trusts in the Lord. Blessed is the one who delights in the law of the Lord, our psalm declares. Blessed is the one who meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. They're like trees planted near streams of water who bear fruit. To be clear here, meditating on the law of the Lord in someone does not mean staying up all night obsessing about whether you're doing all the right things that God commands. Rather, law just simply means meditating on God's word, for the law is how God speaks to God's people in the Old Testament. It's the will of God, as it's made manifest, we believe, in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. To look at God, to have roots in God, is simply to look to Christ and to find that God gives life that we cannot produce on our own. That's what it means to trust, to look to Christ. To be righteous in the way of this psalm is to say, God, I can't even trust you on my own. Help me. Let me put out roots toward you. Let me take up all you have to offer. This has to be said pretty clearly, I think, because sometimes we hear words like faith or righteousness or trust, words that kind of get unleashed in church, and we wonder what they mean. All around us, there are quite religious voices that tell us that faith and trust and righteousness are things we have to come up with on our own. that God will help us if we just think all the right thoughts about God, that God will save us if we believe all the right things about God, that God wants us to live right, so we better get our act together. And it all sounds good and righteous and holy until you discover, for whatever reason, that thinking those thoughts and doing those things are rather hard, until you get to a moment in which it's hard to believe. And that's where I think the image of a tree can really help us. A tree and its roots can help us see what faith means a little differently. A tree doesn't put down roots because it's self-sufficient and has everything that it needs already, as if it just wants to grow so that people will notice it. A tree puts down roots because it just needs water in order to live. And faith is more like that. Faith, from this perspective, it's just about admitting that we're in need. We're in need of God providing for us. It's about receiving what God has to offer. It's about sucking up living water that Christ provides in the waters of baptism, an ever-flowing stream of grace. Grace is that Christ comes to us and meets that need. God comes right to us at the moment in which we feel like we cannot trust, and Christ says, "Here I am for you." And growing in faith, when we think about being rooted, growing in faith is simply about learning to admit our need more and more deeply. It's about confessing our own dependence on Christ and what he gives. Think of a tree putting forth 4 miles of roots a day. That's what it is to grow in faith, just to say, I need you, God, I need you, I need you. That's faith. It's a paradox of sorts. To grow in faith is to grow in the sense that we can't trust without God being there for us. To grow in trust is to grow in the sense that we just need God to come and save us. And it's only in this way, I think, that we can make sense of the words that Jesus speaks in the gospel reading about how the poor are blessed and the mourning are blessed and those who are persecuted and reviled are blessed. I mean, these are strange blessings. I mean, almost none of us would ever want to be any of those things. But Jesus speaks these words not because God enjoys us being miserable, but because it's the very nature of God to just give to his people who are in need. It is the very nature of God to want to fill the hungry and to want to wipe tears away and to comfort and sustain those who need it. Those who think they are sufficient of themselves, those who think that they have everything that they need, those who think that they don't need roots, who don't need to take up life from somewhere else, well, they're going to miss this very wonderful character of God. That's what it means to have a word of woe spoken in this passage. Life in Christ is about admitting need. When Jesus came to us, he came as a weak and needy person. He hungered and thirsted. He was mocked and scorned. He mourned and wept. He was poor. He never forgot his need, though, and he put down deep, deep roots. Roots into the relationship with his Father that sustained him and which never failed and which brought life even in the grave. This past week, as I mentioned in my announcements, this parish lost 3 people whom it loved dearly: Elvin, Elma, and Janet. All 3 had very long lives, all deeply attached to the church in many of its expressions, deep roots here and elsewhere. If you didn't know any of them personally, though, you might know someone like them. All 3 had been made part of the body of Christ in baptism, and they had put down roots in those baptismal waters, miles and miles of roots, and to hear stories of their lives is to hear stories of the life that's produced when you rely on a power that is not your own. Churches served, meals cooked, words spoken, grace shared. Alvin, Elma, and Janet were blessed and shared their blessings with all of us, not because they were sufficient in themselves, but because they showed us what it means to rely on Jesus, what it means to look to Christ for a life outside of ourselves, and in so doing, to find a source of mercy and power. And it's in this way that they showed us what it really means to be alive. In this week, we as the church gathered together with the church in many different places throughout our synod. Elma, I believe, transferred her membership down to Seaman Memorial when she moved to Passavant Retirement Community. Together with the church in many places, we will confess that that power of God is still at work, even in the midst of death. And that one who puts down roots into Christ's baptismal water has access to a power that death cannot put out. If it is for this life only, St. Paul declares in our second lesson, if it is for this life only that we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people the most to be pitied. But Christ has been raised from the dead. And the stream of mercy that comes to each of us in this life, through baptismal water, of Christ saying, "Here I am for you," is a life that flows to his chosen and beloved people, even in the grave, with the word of resurrection and hope. For Christ has been raised from the dead, and he nourishes our roots now and in the eternal life which is to come. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. They are like trees planted by streams of living water. Amen.